regular food. People have different opinion about rice. Some people say I don't like rice. Some say I like beans. Some say I like jollof. Some say I like Chinese rice. And so they keep going to Chinese restaurant and getting fatter. And some people, you know, every topic you bring out in life, people see it how? Differently. So the message of the cross, people see it also differently. But let me tell us the truth. God has only one story. God has only one story. God doesn't tell two stories. It's only one. And it's called the truth. And I want to make another statement. God is not interested in what you say. He can make up his own mind. So it's not what you say that bothers him. It's what he tells you that's more important than what you say. God can make up his own mind. If you gossip about people, God is not interested in your gossip. God knows the truth. He can make up his mind of the situation. You're not telling him anything, don't you? So sometimes we think, well, because you are saying it, God must be impressed. It's not. He says, who gives me counsel? Nobody gives me counsel. Nobody tells me what to do. And so when God gives you the truth, that's the truth. Regardless of whether you know it or not, that's the absolute truth. And so when it comes to the message of the cross, God tells us the truth. We can see it differently and fight over it, argue over it, but there's only one truth. And that's the testimony that the Holy Spirit has what? Given. And it doesn't change. And so to some people, the cross doesn't really make any sense at all. And unfortunately, even among the Christian folks, for many years, all this, you know, being saved and, you know, dying on the cross, it didn't really make too much sense. There was no depth of understanding for me in it. But I could rattle through it. He died for our sins. But beyond that, it was all. So there was no depth of understanding of what happened. So it didn't carry as much weight to me as it should carry. Because I was limited in understanding what happened on the cross. So a lot of Christians don't really pay too much attention to the cross. We tell the story, what story told us, the story tell us. But we don't understand the truth of that message of the cross. As a matter of fact, some Christians think it makes you to commit sin. So when you talk about that God forgives sins, the grace of God is available, they say, hey, you are the people preaching that people should behave anyhow and do whatever they like. But singing it, that grace and sorrow mingled. They were singing the worst. Have you seen any such love as this? So they say, oh, you talk of grace, they will commit sin. And then they say, don't. In fact, they run away from you because they think you are a heretic. Because to them, what is important is the law. Because to them, and they mean well, they really mean well, it's the law that will cop sin. Is the law that will discipline people, that will make people behave what? Come on, talk to me. Behave what? Maybe you are one of them. I was there for a long time as a believer. I was there for a long time. If you talked about grace, you offended me. No wonder the Bible calls it a stumbling block for some people. They stumble over it. And it's an object of offense. So to them, it's, you know, God gave us the law. They were asking my wife, say, so what is the use of the law? What's the use of the law? And they were angry. Shows that really there's an issue in the heart. And you know, it's reasons with human reasoning that if you give me the law, you are trying to make me what? Good. And then they say, you should tell people that God will judge them and punish them for committing. So when you say that, you deter them. It becomes a deterrent. I was there. And somebody asked me in Lagos, I was preaching. He said, "Do you preach judgment of God on sin?" I said, "I provided that if you preach it according to the Bible, and number one, remember that since you know it, you are number one, God will judge. Because the Bible says, do not be many what? Teachers. Because those who teach will receive greater judgment." I said, "You are number one." I think he sat down very quickly. Human reasoning. Everybody said that. Human reasoning. It's useless in spiritual things. Totally useless. But what they forgot is that the scripture tells us that if you are led by the Spirit, you are no more what? Under the law. And those who are led by the Spirit, they are the sons. Which means if you are led by the law, you are cut off from being a child of God. That's scripture. And they forget that the Bible says that the law made nothing perfect, but bringing in on a better hope. And Paul wrote something. He said that if righteousness comes from the law, that we didn't need Jesus to what? To die. I won't be here celebrating this. Which means the law can't make you righteous. Can't. But that's what they think. Why not preach it and teach people about the law? But they say, if you are led by the law, you are not under the Spirit. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So why should I preach something that the Bible says is not children of God can't follow it? Are you following what I'm saying? And the scripture says, if there's a law that will give life, that God would have what? Given it and saved the son all this trouble. Which means the law cannot change a man. Can we just get it in our head? The law cannot change a man. The reason is that man basically by nature is what? Sinful. His issue is the nature. Wash a pig. Clean a pig. A pig is what? Go give a pig 20 laws. He's still a pig. A man born of a woman. David said, "Well, in sin, my mother what? Conceived." Came into this world in Adam with that nature that is naturally rebellious. And the law was given to reveal to us that this nature is what? Rebellious. So we can run to Christ. You see, the law is the schoolmaster. So you can run to Christ to get real change. Somebody shout hallelujah. So we're talking about the cross. Jesus died on the cross. I was there. That's why I know it's real. Believe you me, I will attend services like this, but that is all. There wasn't any depth of understanding. I didn't click into it. I didn't see the relevance to me, really, except he forgave my sin. Do you know that if it's only forgiveness of sin, we are miserable? Really, very miserable. Because the core of the issue hasn't been what? Touched. The source of the problem. Galatians 5:11. Can you put up time? Okay. How many minutes do I have? I'll be until eternity, right? Okay, good. Galatians 5:11. "And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer what? Persecution. Then the offense of the cross has ceased." They say it brings offense. It makes people mad. So they stumble. They stumble. And they fall away from grace. Because they reject the grace of God, so they fall away from it. I don't know, let me say something. A graceless religion produces a graceless life. And a graceless life is a life void of the love of God. And when you are void of the love of God, you are void of God. So the Bible says, he who does not love does not what? Know God. Which means you don't know God. If you have a graceless faith, you produce a graceless life. And a graceless life is a loveless life. And if it's loveless, God is not in it. And if God is not in it, can I go further? What you are doing will profit you what? Nothing. All that religion will profit nothing. I was telling our prayer group, I said, you can't pray effectively for people when you don't love them. I said, the purest motive for doing anything is love. And that's God's only motive for healing you, answering your prayer. That's only motive he has, because he loves you. For God so loved what? That's the only motive. Because there can't be any motive purer than love. Any other motive, you can be selfish, what I can get. No, it's love, selfless, just for your own good. I say, you know why Paul's prayer for Israel was very effective? Because he said, I wish I can go to hell for them. He loved them really. He really wanted God to. I said, how can you have strong desire to pray for somebody that you pray for? America, for instance, without the love of God is not moving, you won't have that depth of desire for God to do something. And that prayer will be fulfilling all righteousness. That's what it is. So a graceless life is a life without love. And if a life is without love, if I could speak all languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I will only be a noisy gong and a clinging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, if I understood all of God's secret plans, possessed all knowledge, if I had such faith that I could even move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be what? Nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained. What do you want to do with a graceless life? A heart that doesn't love it. That's full of religion. So Paul began to tell us what the cross means to him. Can I hear amen? He began to talk about the cross, the message of the cross. He began to talk about the grace of God, the mercy of God, the goodness of God. First Corinthians 1:17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross, church of Jesus, lest the what? The cross of Christ should be made of what? There is power in that cross. That's what Paul is saying. He said, it's such a sacred message that you dare not add anything. You can't, you don't, it's from heaven. The gospel is such a sacred message. He said, I can't even present it with oratory. I can't pollute it with anything from man. I can't. I just have to present it exactly the way it was given to me. He said, that thing is the power of God. I dare not. Because he knew what that thing did in his life. He knew what it did in his life. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, to quote it, to make it so that it becomes acceptable to you. No. He said, I don't have to use my wisdom to make it better, to sound better. He said, no, no, no. If I do that, it becomes immediately of none effect. I kill the power. Because now it's no more the word of God. It's now the word of Paul. And he says, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish what? Come on, church, talk to me. It's to them that perish what? When you cut yourself off from grace, it's because you don't value it. So it's foolish to them. So I was not surprised when this man was challenging my wife and said, "You people make people to sin." My wife said, "My heart broke. I didn't know how to help you." Foolishness. Total foolishness. It was foolish to him. But Paul said, "The grace of God made me what? What I am." And so he said, "The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to unto us which are saved, it is what? The power of God." Can I hear a big amen here? He saw power. He saw incredible power that did something to him. He was talking from experience. This wasn't hearsay. This was something he really, really experienced. He said, "My God, my God, this is power at work. Are you serious?" I don't know how many Christians have discovered this power yet. I don't know how many of us have discovered this power yet. I can say it powerfully too. You see, that's why we don't preach the gospel. Because we don't know that's the power that can change a man. We complain. We rather complain and gossip. I was telling somebody, I think pastor, I said, if we're not praying for America and there are no jobs, why are we complaining? Is it not when we pray, God will heal the land and there will be what? Jobs. I say, if we are not praying for America and there are no jobs, people come out of school, there are no jobs, why are we complaining? Didn't God say, when you pray, I will heal your land? Can I hear amen? Why are we complaining? God has enough power to intervene in any government and make them do stuff. God has, there is enough power in heaven. There is enough, brethren, let's walk by faith in him. There is enough power in heaven that can shake America in 3 minutes. President and all of them will bow to the glory of Jesus. And they will do, somebody began to talk. He was a high priest. He began to talk. He said, "It's good that one man should die for what?" The Bible said he didn't know what he was. They can be in Washington making policies, they won't know what they do. Why? Some people here went on their knees and said, "God, you are God of heaven and earth." Instead, we are gossiping. Many of you could be either Democrat or Republican. I have one party. Only Jesus can save. Hallelujah. Only Jesus can save. Hallelujah. Oh, that's my party. The party of only Jesus can save. I told you, I don't want, television is gone. I told Converizon, "Take your boy, I don't want to watch this thing." I see that I've grown more spiritually. Because I spend my time now watching things that benefit me spiritually. So Paul, our brother Paul, a man that was zealous for the law. He said, concerning the law, what? The law couldn't change him. The very thing that many Christians are clamoring that you preach. Preach law. Preach judgment. Couldn't change him. Could not change him. He said, concerning the law, perfect. He could not change him. He was a wicked man. When they killed Stephen, he organized it. Why? The man didn't say what he didn't agree with him. So he was worthy of and they stoned Stephen until they were sweating. And Paul was the one that organized it. The heart, wicked, 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 wicked. The law couldn't change that wicked heart. Could not. Zealous. But a man that is born of a woman is conceived in sin. The heart is wicked and desperately wicked. So he could stone a fellow human being for not agreeing with his own faith. And to him, that was serving God. Do you know, in my village, when we were growing up, they took the Roman Catholics and Anglican, they were fighting for members. Children were, somebody told me, said, one Anglican man came to the house to ask for water. I brought water and spit in it and gave to him. And he thought it was serving God. Do you know the level of wickedness that is going on in the body of Christ? Selfishness, heartlessness, gossiping, killing people's character for them. Do you know what's happening in our families? Your heart will break. I spoke on Sunday and left. The Lord said to me, he said, Lord, should I say this? He said, when your child is crying for what you are doing, he's wiser than you. He said, isn't that a tragedy? He was asking, he said, when you have a little child you brought up, you are the father or mother, but the child is weeping, his heart is broken for what daddy is doing or mommy is doing. He said, is it not a tragedy that a little child will be wiser than the parents? He was asking. What is the love of God? And so Paul told us a very powerful story about why he said this gospel of the cross is the power of God because of what it did. In Galatians chapter 4, 16. But God forbid that I should glory save what? It's not on the cross. I don't want that one there. I want the scripture. He's no more on the cross. Remove that one. For Galatians chapter 6 verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory save what? Come on, church, talk to me. Save what? In the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Said that I can't find any reason to glory in this life. Say, God forbid it that I should even talk of anything else that has benefited me, that has changed me. Where I found myself, I found glory. Nothing else. He said, only in this cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom the world is what? Church, come on, talk. The world is what? Crucified unto me. I. What he's saying is, through this cross, brethren, he said, I separated from the world. What does he mean separated? I was made a new creature. The nature I used to have was the nature I had in the world. But through this cross, Paul was made what? A new creature. He said, dead. Which means this nature I have is totally dead to this thing that I used to do. So he said, that's the power that separated me, that made me a new creature, that took me from what I used to be, pulled me out, and created a new man that has the nature of God, that has the love of God, that can behave like God. The Lord couldn't do that. If you follow me, say amen. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. But what? See what's pointing to? On the cross, he saw the power that changed him. Can somebody shout hallelujah? He saw that there's power here that changed me, made me a new creature, separated me from the world. And then he said something. Verse 16. Can we read verse 16 together? Everybody, let's go. As many as walk according to this rule, peace be unto them, and mercy upon the Israel of God. Let the church say amen. Amen. Said as many as walk by this principle, that understand this principle, peace be unto them. And the man Paul fell in love with God. Fell in love. The love of God took over his life. Do you know, to be led by the Spirit is to be led by the love of God. It's not different. The love of God took over this man's life. Completely took over his life. He couldn't have enough of Jesus. He said, I'm ready to die for him. I will die for him. a man in this being under control by this love, you don't need to push him to do the will of God. Is that right? Come on now, is that right? You don't push him to do the will of God. Because he said, I'm prepared to die for Christ. We saw Stephen, another person that came under this influence. They were stoning him. He knelt down and said, Lord, please, don't put this in what? And yet, in our homes, we can't forgive our wives and our husbands. Your wife or husband has not stoned you yet. But anybody that goes in, you talk about it. And you are planning vengeance. And you know about the cross? Found the power yet? Are you kidding me? That's why I said, you shall know the truth. And the truth was what? It's the truth, not the Lord. It's the truth. Truth is Christ. The gospel is the truth. Paul said, power of God. Wow. Gently. And the love of God, the nature of God began to operate in his life. The Bible says we are created new so that we can do the good works that God planned. So we can walk in love. The nature of God began to ooze out of this man. Totally different from what he was before. And then look at Acts 21:13. Am I communicating? If you heard me say amen. Acts 21:13. Then Paul answered, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to what? Die at Jerusalem for the name of Jesus Christ. Talk of a man who has been, the bug of God's love has hit him. The same love that was in Christ was operating in him. For which Jesus said, I laid down my life, what? Willingly. Was operating in him. The same spirit, the same life. Reality of born again was there. This is real. He's a new man. Created after the image of God. He was acting like God. It's not natural. Acting like God. Can you tell me something? Do you think that such a man will find it difficult to attend to God's business? Come on, talk to me. Wheelbarrow leader. Wheelbarrow. And we say, I love you, Lord. You lift up your hands and oh my God, I love you. Jesus says, show me. Show me now. I'm ready to die. I'm ready to die. I'm ready to give my life for him. Why? He said he loved me and gave his life what? For me. I'll give my life for him. That revelation of the cross changed him. Took over his life to them. And then 2 Corinthians 5:12. And we are we commending ourselves to you again? What's the time, please? Can I have 5 more minutes? Huh? 5 more minutes? Huh? Okay, 10 more minutes, right? Okay, so are we in agreement? All in favor, say aye. Okay, majority carries. So let's continue. 2 Corinthians 5:12. Are we commending ourselves to you again? Now, this is the New Living Translation. Yeah. Are we commending ourselves to you again? No. We are giving you a reason to be proud of us. So you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular what? Ministry. Say, come to our ministry. Ah. People are, you know ministry? Once money is coming, people are coming, ministry. That's not ministry. Let me tell you what ministry is. Ministry is laying down your life. Ministry is giving everything to Jesus. That's ministry. Ministry is not about what you get. Ministry is about what you give to use to serve. Everybody is a ministry. Ministry is service. Can I hear amen? Ministry is not title. Ministry is not position. Ministry is washing other people's what? Feet. That's ministry. Ministry is not number. So they are coming. He said, that's not ministry. Ministry is what Christ is doing to you. Whether you are 10 or 5, that's irrelevant. Is it Jesus doing it through you? That's ministry. Because that is his ministry, not yours. And if you are ministry and you haven't come to a level where you have pain, oh Jesus, pain, where you like Paul, we say, I'm ready. Ministry, we take you through pain. People will insult you. The devil will insult you. Do everything. Try to discourage you. But because you love him. None of these things, what? Neither count myself as what? Anything. Nothing. That's ministry. You can have a church of 20,000 and still not be in ministry. You can be doing it for yourself. Not for Christ. Can I hear amen? So, are we commending ourselves to you again? No. We are giving you a reason to be proud of us so you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. 13. If it seems we are crazy now because we are not like that, sometimes it looks like you are crazy because you are in the minority. You are not like that. Amen. You are not going with ushers following you. And then if you want to blow your nose, you can blow your nose too. I'm blowing my nose right now. So, you know, when you are anointed, you don't blow your nose. I don't eat garri too. All manner of ridiculous things happen. All manner of ridiculous nonsense is going on. Let me tell you something. All of us are human beings. Look, before God, God is no respecter of what? Verses. It's irrelevant. All these titles we answer, I've told you, God is not impressed with titles. He's impressed with only one thing. Christ in you. The hope of what? Is it Christ? Is it his son? That's it. So, if it seems we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And if we are in our right minds, if you think we are in our right minds, it's also for your benefit now. Either way, Christ's love, what? You're not reading. Either way, what happens? He said, my life is taken over by the love of God. So if you think I'm crazy or not crazy, I don't bother. Because I know I love you. The love of God has taken over what? So what you say about me? But you know some people, if you say, "What I don't like what they're doing," you become enemy immediately. So, he says, the love of God, what? Controls us. What are we? Yeah. Christ's love controls us. Since we believe, what do we believe? Why? Paul, where did you get this thing? Since we believe that Christ, what? He's talking about what we're celebrating today. What we're commemorating today. He died for what? Oh, we also believe that we are what? Died to our old self. You see what he's talking about? The power that pulled him out of the old life. You see what he believes? What do you believe? See what the man believes? He said, I believe Christ died for me so that my old life has been what? Taken away from me. And then what does the next verse? He died for everyone so that those who receive his what? New life will no longer live. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised. You see what he believes? You see what changed his mind? You see where the change, the renewing of mind came? No longer live for myself. Which means selfishness is what? Gone. And I'm controlled by the love of God. So when you sit here, usher say, can you move? You move easily. You think there's no problem. If that will make the service okay, I can move. But when they say move, you say, praise the Lord. And then you can see that life of God in him issuing in patience the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruit of human being. It's the fruit of the Spirit. The patience issue out of him. The man became a man with persevering faith. Let me tell you, church, there are levels, there are experiences in God you can't have unless you have persevering faith. There are experiences in God you will not experience unless you have what? Very stubborn faith that won't give up. But when you hit there, you hit the Goshen. Read the whole Bible. Abraham had stubborn what? Faith. And hit the Goshen. He hit blessing that is still flowing. A Goshen, you know what a Goshen is? Am I to teach English too? Hit a Goshen is where something is gushing. You know, you hit a Goshen. Like, hey, are you from Ikurabi or something? There are things about God you won't experience unless you have a very stubborn what? A faith that perseveres. There are things in the kingdom you won't experience. I'm not kidding. Read the whole Bible and find that people who hit red Goshen with God, they were people with stubborn faith. They endured to the what? And hit a Goshen. Because those are treasures of God. That's a blessing coming to you. Say amen. Persevering faith. Everybody say persevering faith. You must develop it. We don't go back on this thing. There is no back gear. We don't have reverse what? Gear. Moses was crying to God and said, Lord, he said, what are you doing? Do what? Move on. Brethren, we don't back down. We don't, there's no reverse gear. If you put your hand on the plow, there's no looking back. Faith is if I perish, I what? It's no looking back. Paul, the life of God, you can't even imagine God backing up. So the life, the patience of God that came into him, you know, patience and faith work hand in hand. He said, with patience and faith, you obtain the promise. That patience of God, that fruit of the Spirit was walking in this man. Walking in this man. He was passing through all things. He was persevering. He was persevering. He was persevering. He said, none of the things what? Move me. My life is worth nothing. Persevering. I know in whom I believe. Persevering. 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 One he put two. He said, I fought the good fight. Somebody shout hallelujah. He said, I fought the good fight. I fought this good fight. I fought this fight. There's a crown now for me. Acts 20:24. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear what? So that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. I want to ask you a question. Do you have a testimony like Paul? Have you found the power that transformed in the cross? Have you found that? When you give testimony, do you have faith in the message of the gospel or in the words of men? Do you have more confidence in Christ or do you have confidence in the law? What is today to you? If you call Paul, he will tell us the story. I was separated on the cross, dead to the world. My life was changed then. So I can no more live for myself, but live for he who died for me. What's your testimony? Let's pray.
You You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Four Square Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings daily, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.